Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Well, amen. Stacking the stones. Amen. It's another Thursday night. And amen. It feels good to be back on the air. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on the air. Last week we were off. Brother Cooley was out of town preaching in Iowa. And then the week before that, I was under the weather. And Brother Cooley manned the airwaves and did a tremendous job of doing that. And he did a show on the satanic deception of superheroes, and I really couldn't contain myself. I sat and listened to it and got so excited listening to him dispel this childhood garbage that's thrust upon our young people by Hollywood and television, cartoons, comic books, and what have you. But that's not why we're on the air today. But I tell you, it's good to be back on the air here on the Old Paths Broadcast. Again, if you don't know who I am, I'm Brother Brandon Teague. You say, who's that? Well, I'm a nobody. I'm just somebody God has saved by his wonderful grace, called me into this gospel ministry, and I'm just an old country boy from southwest corner of Arkansas who's saved by the grace of God, and I've got a great co-host, and I'm going to bring him on right now. Brother Cooley, it's good to have you back on the air. Good to be with you tonight.
Amen, brother. It's good to be here. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've been on the air together. I know we're praying for you. I'm glad you're feeling better. And then the last week I was on the road preaching and wasn't able to get back in time to do what needed to be done there. So it's good to be back. And you know, the topic we're talking about tonight, brother, is so important. It's timely considering we just really had the celebration of Independence Day, and which I firmly believe that people don't have any clue what that really means. What do you think about that?
No, I definitely don't believe they have any idea what that means. If they did, there wouldn't be such a hatred for the South in this country. And I don't say that to be any slap toward you, and you know that. But a hatred toward the South. There's a hatred toward the old Confederacy, and our founding fathers they broke away from Mother England very much in the same way that our Southern states got tired of the North and the way that the federal government was running things and tried to break away too. And there's just a lot of misunderstanding in this country, a lot of false propaganda that has been taught in our public school systems, and I don't believe they know what they're doing at all. It's all about 4th of July sales. Of course, I know you don't have a television, but I've seen these silly 4th of July commercials where you've got a guy dressed up in a red, white, and blue bodysuit with a top hat on, dancing around with sparklers in his hand. I mean, that's not what it's about. It's about laying everything on the line for what you believe in, and that's something our country's forgotten.
Yeah, that's right, brother. They have forgotten it. What we've turned it into, America has turned into this. The real war today in America, brother, the absolutely real war today in America for this nation is in the United States of America. It's not overseas. The real enemy is not overseas. The real enemy is not, I'm going to tell you, brother, quite frankly, the real enemy is not a Muslim. The real enemy is not in the Middle East. The real enemy can be found within our own government, within our own system that we have here. Now, that's not to say that we are our battle. Let me be very clear when I say this, that our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle
right.
is with principalities and powers and the wickedness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
This war cannot be fought with a weapon that is that are carnal, man-made weapons. This war will be fought in the hearts of men. It is a battle for the hearts of men. And one of the problems we have today is that America is completely taken with patriotism. Christians are doing things with what they call patriotism that they have no idea what they're really agreeing with or what they're really propagating.
That's absolutely true. And I just want to say right out of the gate, before we go on further with this show, tonight we're talking about the paganism of patriotism. If you didn't see what the show title was before you clicked on, or maybe you don't understand where we're going with this tonight, let me just say to you right off the bat, expect to be offended. Expect to get your American feelings hurt. Expect to be a little bruised emotionally. But I can tell you this. Anytime God showed me anything, it always hurt. Because I had to let go of something usually that was precious to me, even though it wasn't good for me. And a man goes in to have surgery done, it hurts. Let's just be honest. The doctor can do as much, use as much care as he wants to, or as he can, possibly he's trained to. But let's be honest, there's going to be some soreness. There's going to be some discomfort. So expect to feel a little discomfort tonight. And maybe you just get mad. Maybe you turn off your computer. Maybe you hang up the phone. Maybe you decide, I'm not listening to this anymore. And you're entitled to, and we won't get mad at you for doing so. But understand something tonight. I've talked to Pastor Cooley about this, and he knows where I stand. We're in agreement on this subject. Both of us are very thankful to be born in this country. There's no doubt about it. I'm very thankful to be born in America. I said right before we went on the air, I'll go a step further. I can't speak for Brother Cooley because he's in Minnesota, but I'm thankful to be born in Texas. Actually, I wasn't born in Texas. I have to take that back. I was born across the river, the Red River in Arkansas. I would have been born in Texas, Pastor, but my dad, he got homesick, went back home to Arkansas. He was actually living here in right in this area where I pastor today, but he went home, and they had me in Arkansas. But I got back out of here as fast as I could, and I have planted myself here and raising my family here, pastoring here, and I intend to stay here as long as the Lord wants me here. But I'm thankful to be born. I mean, in the South, I'm thankful to have that heritage. I'm not a racist. I'm not a bigot. But I'm thankful for the heritage that comes along being born in the South. But I'm thankful to be born in this country. I believe the Constitution is imperfect, but it is the best document I believe that was penned as far as government goes. I believe the Bill of Rights is outstanding, but it's the best that man could do. At the same time, as I said to you on the drive in, this is all temporary. This is not my home. I'm just staying here till the Lord calls me, and that's really the heart of the matter. If we want to get down to it tonight, that's really the heart of the matter. This is so temporary. If we could lay out eternity and like they do in science class and have scales and be able to measure things. If you had a scale somehow, and I know I'm speaking in a ridiculous terms because there's no way to gauge how long eternity is because it's eternal. We'd have to have a loop. But if we could somehow take that as a scale and look at how short this lifespan is and gauge that by eternity, it would be so minuscule you wouldn't be able to see it. So this time here is very, very temporary. That's why the old-time Christians that wrote those gospel hymns that are in our hymn books, They wrote, you know, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. There's a reason why all those things were sung, because this is not my home. This is just where I'm at until I go on to be with the Lord.
Amen, brother. That's absolutely right. And let me also say before this starts that I do love a lot about this country, and I am very thankful that God allowed me to be born here, and that you know, we are I am a citizen here, like Paul was a Roman citizen. I mean, he understood that. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for the liberty that we do have to preach the gospel and to get out there and do it. And that's why we're taking that liberty tonight to do what we're doing.
Amen.
What we're going to reveal to you tonight is not that we don't believe in you know, trying to preserve our nation from destruction. That's what we're doing. Don't you? You've got to understand tonight, what we're doing right now is trying to preserve this country. What we're doing is trying to give you the truth, to share the biblical truth with you, to make sure that you see things through the eyes of the Word of God, and not through the eyes of the American flag or this American system, or even the Pledge of Allegiance or any of these other things, but that you understand it through the eyes of Scripture, that proper role and what should be first. That doesn't mean that we don't stand up for truth wherever we can, whether it be standing against wicked government, whether it be by voting, whether it be by standing out and preaching on the street corner, whether it be sometimes protesting that which is right to protest against, any of those things, and to reveal truth. That doesn't mean that we hate America. That doesn't mean we want it to fall or anything like that. No, we want the people of this nation to repent, and
amen.
We want people to do what's right, and that's the goal of this. It's not to tear down America. It's not to tear down America's tore itself down. America has fallen for wickedness, and we have to try to set the story straight here, and that's why we're going to talk about things like the Pledge of Allegiance tonight and its roots and you know, different things, and the Statue of Liberty and some of the other things like that, to be able to explain some of these things.
Right. And I was just sitting there thinking while you were talking, you know, to give an analogy, what we're doing tonight, you know, people, you know, as a whole, nobody wants to upset. They don't want to upset the way things are. People, and I'm speaking on people as a, on average, you know, just don't upset the herd. Don't speak out. Just keep your mouth shut and go about your business. That's really the mentality of most people. And I have witnessed that, and you have witnessed that, as we've tried to speak out against things on Facebook, which is a very public arena. It is the modern courtyard, or it's the modern town square, if you will, in this society we live in. You know, if a person who's sick, and America is sick, if a person who's sick from smoking cigarettes goes to a doctor, and that doctor gives them this advice, well, don't stop smoking. Just try to get better. It'll probably all work out in the long run. You know, don't cut back on your cigarettes. Why would you want to do that? Let's just keep on trying to eat healthy, and let's keep trying to do the right thing, and you'll probably be okay. I mean, you know, what kind of a doctor would you think that was? I know there's some smokers who think, well, what a great doctor, but if you want to be honest, you know, if a doctor recommends you keep smoking, he's not much of a doctor. And, you know, people want us to, I think, as a general rule, would like for us to just brag on how great our country is. Even though she's sin sick, she's got the death rattle in her chest, she's bankrupt morally and financially, she's run by a bunch of hucksters and snake oil salesmen and crooks and thieves and perverts, and they are just laughing and watching her die and getting rich off of her and just, you know, just absolutely raking the people of America over the coals and laughing the whole time. Now, what kind of a citizen would I be if I stood by and watched that? What kind of a preacher would I be if I just stood by and said, well, I don't want to upset anybody, so I'll keep my mouth shut and I won't speak out? And you say, well, Obama and their NSA may be listening to you tonight. Well, I hope they get an earful, honestly. I've never made my opinion a quiet one. I've always been outspoken. And Brother Cooley, I can tell you this, in the last few days, I've gotten to the point where I can't keep my mouth shut on certain topics, and I've spoken out on some topics when I just couldn't take it anymore. And you know, people just say, well, boy, you sure aren't shy to give your opinion. I hope you feel better. You ought to take a nap. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. There's that attitude of, man, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Nobody wants to hear your opinion. Go ahead.
A part of that, brother, is this effeminate society that we've become here today, where a bunch of fluoride drinking, pansy waist, limp wristed men out there that can't have any passion to stand up for what is right and won't speak out against everything. It's 90% of Americans today, and I'm just throwing out a figure there for the sake of conversation. But I mean, just a great number of men today are so hypnotized with such zombies out there by programming and television and everything else that, you know, brother, they don't get excited about anything. Nothing excites them anymore. They've been dulled. Their consciences are seared. They've seen wickedness all week on television and movies and everything else that nothing fazes them any longer. There's no desire for them to stand up for what's right.
That's absolutely right. They've been feminized by the feminist movement. They've been doped by big pharmacy, and they're beat down on their jobs. You know, life's come down on top of them, and all these things are strategically planned to keep people quiet. It's all a strategic plan to make us hush and let this country be destroyed bit by bit, so we don't notice. It's the old frog in the pot of water theory, and it's working well. Heard somebody say Adolf Hitler would be very proud of what's been done in this country. And I don't disagree with that statement.
I don't either, brother. I know exactly. He should be proud. The Patriot Act, the National Detention Act, every other stinking act that's been passed in the last 10 years or so in America has all been patterned after what he did over in Germany. So, yeah, sure he'd be proud.
Absolutely. He couldn't even pull off a lot of the things that have been pulled off in this country. I mean, he wasn't as successful in a lot of ways as the last few presidents have been. I mean, on that level, he was able to do it countrywide. Well, we're able to do it worldwide and impose our will.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's going on. And, you know, it's amazing because America is so hypnotized by patriotism and, you know, support the troops, support the war, support this, support that, and don't question anything. Meanwhile, how come there's not more people speaking out about us being completely recorded in every conversation, being spied upon by the very people that we pay to put into office? They are spying on us, invading our privacy, and doing all of these things. Meanwhile, America, there's not this national outrage. Where is the outrage there?
Well, it's in a few pockets here and there on Facebook, but that's where it stays. It doesn't ever matter. Well, you know, you've got your political pundits. You've got your talking heads on the news shows. People sit and drink their coffee. They watch them argue it out, and they figure, well, they handled it for me, so I don't have to say anything.
Right, exactly. I mean, so without anybody because there's no outrage there, what does it tell you? It tells you that most Americans today are just mindlessly going through the motions of everything, and they're not thinking about what they're doing. And that's why I want to bring to light some of this stuff tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance and some of the other things, because we really want to get the truth out there. That's the goal. It's like, where did the pledge come from? Why do we say the pledge? Why do people say the Pledge of Allegiance? What does it mean? What are its roots? Where did it come from? Do we really believe what it says? Do we agree with that? Do we agree with that? Why are we placing our hand over it? Why are we doing those things? For
right.
What reason?
Right. I saw, there was an article that was somebody had posted on Facebook just a couple of weeks ago by a preacher named Don Boyes. I'm not sure if you saw it.
I did.
But, okay, you know what I'm talking about. And the question was asked in the article, does the American flag belong in the church? And matter of fact, I was really kind of surprised that Don Boyes had posted that. I really was kind of shocked at that because I have met him and been around him a little bit. And it just seemed out of character and something he would not have done, but he did. And the feedback that he got from that was very surprising to me. So many people came back at him and said, well, I believe it belongs there. I believe it should be there. I mean, I don't have all the comments written down. I didn't save them. But there were so many people who really were outraged that he had proposed that the American flag did not belong there. I want to say this first of all. The church that I pastor, Faith Baptist Church in Paris, Texas, we do not have a single flag in our auditorium. We do not have a flag hanging. The only flags that are hanging in our church building at all are on the mission wall, representing other countries where we send our mission money to missionaries, what countries are trying to reach. There is no American flag in our auditorium. And another thing, when I first came to this church, they had an American flag on one side. They had a Christian flag on the other. And I got to noticing something. That American flag was trimmed in gold fringe. And I've never served in the military, but I am smart enough to recognize that is a military flag. And that is saying that the military has jurisdiction over that church auditorium. Every place where that military flag is flown, it is symbolically saying that this is a military, is giving credence to the military. First thing I did before I took the American flag out, I got rid of that military flag and I replaced it with a regular American flag. And I did that, and I had a military man in my church, and he got furious about it, but he got over it. And then some years later, he passed away. After he passed away, I began to question, why do we even have this flag in here? What are we saying? You know, I mean, this is not, you know, I know I went to Vacation Bible School. I know you go through the pledge to the flag, the pledge to the Christian flag, and then the pledge to the Bible last. You ever seen how they do that? American flag first, Christian flag second, Bible last. Bothers me. So what I decided to do, I said, you know what, I'm getting them out of here. And I got them out of there. And they haven't been back. Matter of fact, the only thing that we do is we pledge allegiance to the Bible before we go to Sunday school. And I do that because, hey, that's the only thing that we ought to pledge our allegiance to is the Word of God and to follow God's holy Word. And so I began doing that, and, you know, I feel good about it. And I, you know, if other people want to have a problem with it, that's their deal. But I can tell you right now, we're going to point out some things tonight in this show, some very important things, like you said, and it's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to make some people mad. People ain't going to like it, and that's okay. You know what? It's a free country. You can turn the computer off, and it won't bother me one bit. We had 1,000 listens last week. We weren't even on the air. There are people that want the truth, even if some people out there don't want it. So I'm not saying it to be rude or ugly. I'm just simply saying, you know, public opinion don't mean squat to me. What matters to me is the truth, and I know that's what matters to you too, brother.
Amen. That's absolutely right. I'm not worried about what people think. I'm worried about giving them the truth and let them process it and let them think about it and review the facts. You know, we'll get into some of that when we start talking about the Pledge of Allegiance and a few other things. But some of the conversations I had this week with folks and revealing some things, it's just, I'm shocked. But I'll tell you, Christian, in churches, that I don't believe there is such a thing as a Christian flag. I've seen that Protestant flag that they hold up,
mm-hmm.
and it is a Protestant flag, and I find
right.
it funny. I find it funny. But you know that why do you need one in the first place? But that,
right.
that then you know I, and I've also seen the Baptist flag too as well, which I don't need one of those either.
No,
I don't need a Baptist flag either. I don't need any flag. In fact, I know one thing. I know the American flag does not belong in the church house. I don't believe it has any place there. I don't believe that has government dominion, and I need to fly that flag. When I'm in the assembly of the saints there in the local church, I don't see why I should give any reverence to the flag at all while I'm in there. Why should that have any place in the worship services? Remember, you're there to glorify God. You're doing that. That is the sole purpose, is to be concentrated on Christ and the preaching of God's holy word. And to offer up praise and thanksgiving to him, I don't see what the point of having the government involved with that is.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I don't have an American flag in the corner of my bedroom. I don't have one in my living room. I don't have one on my car. I don't have one in my church office. I mean, you know, I don't have to have that to remind myself where I live. And by the way, that flag does not necessarily represent who I am anyway. That flag represents the country I live in, but it does not represent me. And you know, I mean, sure, it represents our country. And again, I'm thankful to live here. But that does not mean that I have to be a Yankee Doodle Dandy and forget who I serve. I don't think that just because, you know, it's Armed Forces Day that I have to bring in members of every branch of the military and parade them across my platform and have everybody stand up and clap for them. I don't think I have to march the police chief down the aisle and give him some plaque for being a good police chief and have firefighters and paramedics. And I don't feel like I got to do that in order to be a good American. You know, maybe I'm an oddball. It's okay. I don't mind. I've been an oddball all my life. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, I'm different, and that's okay. It's okay to be different, and I kind of enjoy it. Amen. Brother, we got about a minute. We're going to take a break, and we'll get into the show after we come back from the break here. But am I off base, brother, or do you think I'm talking right here?
No, I agree. I'm the same way. I don't have a civil service day. I don't have a let's parade the police chief in day. I don't have a invite the district attorney in. He may be the guy that arrests you and throws you into prison one day, real soon, for preaching the gospel or something. I don't know, brother. I've been on both sides of this thing. I was a lost, wicked, hellbound sinner that ran around, did a lot of wicked things. But I also know one thing. There's a lot of wickedness out there too that has a badge and that has other things. But the point of the matter is that you know the assembly is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the preaching of God, of God's holy word. It's not we're the body of Christ. We're not the body of the state. We're not there to promote statism. Why don't these people see this? That we're not there for statism. We're there.
Amen.
For the word of God and to glorify God. That's what we're there for.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a break. And as we go to break, we're going to play a song from the Marksman Quartet. It is a song that, I tell you what, I kind of identify with it right this minute. There's a few of us that believe like you and I believe. And you know what? That's my crowd. So that's this song called This Is My Crowd, the Marksman Quartet. And we'll be back here on the Old Pass broadcast in just a minute.
Sometimes we're loud when we get
This is my crowd, the Marksman Quartet, and they are my crowd. I tell you, I promote them because I believe in what they're doing, and especially if you live in the South, they tour a lot around the southeastern United States, and if you ever get a chance to hear the Marksman Quartet, I highly recommend you go out and listen to them. Their message is a gospel message. It's always a gospel message. And if you ever get a chance to hear their singer, Brother Mark Wheeler, preach, you will not be disappointed. He is a powerful man of God and a very dear friend of this preacher. And I'm thankful that I've got a crowd. I'm thankful that and it's a small crowd. And but Brother Cooley's a part of it. And the crowd I run with, Jesus is in that crowd. So I'm thankful to be in that crowd. I don't care how small it is. If I got the Lord on my side in that crowd, I'm in the right crowd, so that's what matters. We're talking this evening about patriotism, and let me say this before we go any further. I'm not against the patriot movement in this nation. I'm truly not. I'm not against those who stand up and believe that this nation ought to be turned back to what it was founded upon. I support that 100%. You know, I'm not a member of any Tea Party, but I do have a Gadsden flag, and I've got a cap with a Gadsden flag that has the snake on the front. I believe that stuff, but I'm not a card carrying member of any party. I don't believe in that parties political parties will save this nation. I believe the only way this nation has any chance is by turning to God for help. And I don't have a whole lot of hope that this nation's going to do that. But anyway, Brother Cooley's going to get us started off tonight. We're talking about a lot of things that we do in this nation and we've done in this nation. And we've really done blindly. We've really done ignorantly. And a lot of things that have been pushed upon us and taught to us over the course of our lives that we take for granted and we think is just natural and normal are absolutely unnatural for a Christian to do. Brother Cooley, why don't you take us into it?
Amen, brother. Well, as we look at the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, when you initially first hear this, the response to this is, oh my goodness, that's horrible. How could you say anything wrong with the Pledge of Allegiance? You just don't love America, because I heard Rush Limbaugh or somebody like that talk about how liberals don't like the Pledge of Allegiance and so-and-so doesn't like the Pledge of Allegiance and Obama wouldn't put his hand over his heart and all of these other things. And boy, then I don't want to be in that group or anything like that. Well, listen, those guys, what we're talking to you about tonight and what those guys say are two different things altogether. The one thing that I want to show you tonight here is that the Pledge of Allegiance was really invented by a socialist. He was a socialist. We'll talk about him. His name is Francis Bellamy. But we'll talk about him a little bit in a few minutes. But just to ease your mind here, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison never said the Pledge of Allegiance. They never had anything to do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I don't know if you don't think that they were good Americans, Benjamin Franklin, some of those others. You may think they weren't good Americans. I don't know what you think about them, but all I know is they were the founding fathers of this nation, and they did not say the Pledge of Allegiance. A pledge is a binding promise or an agreement. And I bind myself, basically, when I say the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, if you're a Southerner, you're going to have a problem with if you believe that the South was right anyway in the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, that is. But if you believe that the South was right, Then, brother Brandon, you have a problem saying this Pledge of Allegiance, because indivisible makes that a real problem, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, what the public needs to understand is, you've got a Southern boy who was born in Lafayette County, Arkansas, and you've got another man on the show here who was, I don't even know where you were born, brother. Illinois, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we've got a Northerner and a Southerner on here, and the thing is, he and I agree.
Amen.
He and I agree on the war of Northern aggression. We both agree the South was right to secede.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother. I'm
absolutely
going after.
No, that's right. Absolutely. No, you're right. That's I do agree with the South, and I do believe Lincoln was the first. That was the first terrorist this nation ever really saw. But anyway, that's another story altogether. The man attacked his own people, but we don't have time to go down that trail tonight. So as we move along here, though, a pledge is a promise to bind myself to something. Look at this country. Can you and I, as born-again believers, rightfully promise to follow this nation? Can we really say that? When Christ is not welcome in the public schools today, when Christ is not welcome on the floors of Congress and in the Senate, and when Christ is not welcome nearly anywhere at all today in the public, in the public arena itself, how can we pledge to a nation that doesn't even want Christ around?
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm ashamed of what our nation has become. I'm totally ashamed. I mean, I've been all my life growing up, as I've become more aware, and of course, I'm a 44-year-old man now, so, I mean, I'm completely aware, but as I grew up through my teens, I didn't pay much attention to what our nation was doing. I mean, as I was growing up, I knew about the oil crisis, and I knew about Watergate, which had happened, and I knew there were some problems in our government, but I really didn't care. But as I have grown up, you know, and I heard about Madeleine Murray O'Hare, and I thought, you know, that's, at the time, I really thought, well, that's stupid. Why did they do that, you know? And as I have grown up, and I have come, especially since I put God in first place in my life as a Christian, and stopped doing things my way and quit rebelling against God's will for my life, when I put him in first place, I began to see so many things that I never saw before. And honestly, it made me sick at what my nation had become. And I didn't realize it. And instead of just, you know, holding my hand over my heart and blindly ignoring all the problems, I began to speak out about these problems. And I found, just like you have, just like so many others who have done it, just been told to hush and just be a good American and just, you just support the troops and salute the flag, and you just be thankful that you're not living in Somalia or somewhere.
That's right, brother. That's the response. Oh, if you don't like it, you can just get out. Well, you know, it's the funny thing about that is that wasn't the opinion of the founding fathers. They didn't look at each other and say, well, if you don't like all this stuff, then you just get out or you just do that. That wasn't there. No, they said, no, we're going to fix it. We're going to speak out against it. We're going to cry out against it. We're going to reveal things. We're going to educate people. And that's what we're doing tonight. As we look at this and we go down this list of things, you know, what if a government... As we look at the government and we look at what's going on, the evil that has come of our nation, do we really believe that we can pledge our allegiance to such a thing? Should not our allegiance as a born again believer be to Christ?
Absolutely. I mean, above all.
Right. You know, bring it to, you know, we also have this part of the Pledge of Allegiance that talks about one nation under God. Well, which God is that? That's not Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say, I mean, there's a lot of gods out there today. There's a lot of false gods out there. But does the Muslim, when he pledges allegiance and I stand and I say the Pledge of Allegiance next to some Muslim or some Hindu or somebody else and they say one nation under God, are we all pledging to the same God? Are we saying that our nation is under God? Well, which God? The God that George Bush says? George Bush says that Allah and Jehovah are the same God.
Hey, you know, that just made me remember something, Brother Cooley. Do you remember the big stir over, do you remember Dikembe Mutombo, the basketball star, played for the Houston Rockets? And so much was made over the fact that he would not salute the flag. And, you know, maybe that's why, because he did not want to identify with the Christian God, and he took a stand against saluting that with Christians.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I just happen to remember that.
It's interesting that we find that some of these pagans actually reverence what they believe more than most Christians do today.
Mm-hmm.
I've often asked this question too as well. As a born again believer, do I have the right to pledge my allegiance to anyone other than Christ? The Bible says, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Are we really allowed to give our allegiance to another?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, you know, that's what the Freemasons do. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, if not for a myriad of other reasons, that is one reason why, you know, Freemasons gathering around and around the Bible on their table and saying, you know, God as you see him or whatever. I mean, you know, and that's the same thing with Alcoholics Anonymous. God as he was revealed to you. Listen, I don't want to be a part of no stuff like that. Listen, I serve the only true God, the only real God, and I intend to worship him not with heathens, not with those who worship false deities, but with those who are like-minded.
Amen. Absolutely. And then the question we have to ask ourselves next is this. Statism is its own religion. It really is. It's its own religion. Well, where does the Pledge of Allegiance come from? How was it started, and where are its origins from? Shouldn't we know if we're reciting something or we're saying something? It's kind of like I've heard preachers that rightfully so will condemn Christmas, Christmas, and I don't follow those holidays either. They're satanic days, they're pagan days, and I don't follow them. But listen,
amen.
It's very fascinating. Those same people though will say the Pledge of Allegiance without any understanding of where it came from. Well, let me read to you where this thing comes from.
Go ahead.
From its inception in 1892, the pledge has been a slavish ritual of devotion to the state, wholly inappropriate for a free people. It was written by Francis Bellamy, a Christian socialist, pushed out of his post as a Baptist minister for delivering a pulpit-pounding sermons on such topics as Jesus the Socialist. Now, you stop right there and think about that, brother. He was a devout socialist, and he tried to make our Lord and Savior a socialist. Preached in a Baptist church, and they kicked him out of the church for it.
Amazing.
So Bellamy, yeah, it is absolutely astounding. Bellamy was devoted to the ideas of his more famous cousin, Edward Bellamy, author of the 1888 utopian novel Looking Backward. Looking Backward describes the future United States as a regimented workers' paradise where everyone has equal incomes and men are drafted into the country's industrial army at the age of 21, serving in jobs assigned them by the state. Huh.
That sounds like what Obama wants.
Yeah, Obama's got his own army. He's got his own army of youth. It's called the Youth Army. Anyway, his book was extremely popular. He started the first Nationalist Club in Boston. But after leaving the pulpit, Francis Bellamy decided to advance his authoritarian ideas through the public schools. You know, here's what this guy did, and I find it fascinating, and I've given this information to people, and they said, oh, well, I won't be swayed by anything. I mean, just saying the Pledge of Allegiance, that's not going to make me do anything, make me stumble or do anything. Are you that foolish? Nobody is saying that you're going to stumble. You've already stumbled. You've already tripped over. You've already fell for something. You didn't research something that you were repeating and reciting as if it was something that was good. And come to find out, a socialist invented it. And when he couldn't get it passed in the church house, he went to the public school system, and he got it passed there, and he pushed it there.
Right. I mean, we're talking about something tonight that is part of people's national DNA. Brother, you realize what we're doing tonight. We are taking something that people have done their entire life, and we are stripping it down and showing what it really is. We're pulling the mask off of it and showing what it really is. And I can tell you right now, I can almost hear the sound of heads popping back into the sand and putting their fingers in their ears and saying, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, there are people who are not going to receive this tonight. They're going to get angry. And I'm not saying that to say we ought to stop doing what we're doing. I'm just telling you, it's as much a part of a psyche of an American. You know, it's right there with baseball. I mean, it's right there with apple pie. It's right there with mom and family.
Well, absolutely, brother. Let me give you a testimony of something. I was at the, I don't remember what exactly I did, because I've been studying this out for a little while myself and coming, and God has really grown me in some of these areas. But I remember last year as a delegate, and I remember standing there, and I did not say the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody in the room was pretty much saying it. I stood there with, and I didn't move my lips, and I didn't say a word, you know, as they were saying it, and because I didn't believe it was right for me to do. And some of the, oh, you just hate America. No, I love Jesus. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the kings of this earth are going to war against the Christ. Remember, every nation, they're going to turn away from God. And they're gonna hate him, and they're gonna war against him in Psalm chapter 2. The Bible says that that's what they're gonna do. And the first time he came, the heads of the state didn't want him here either. They killed him. They crucified him. Why do we think that this government is gonna recognize the Lord's authority over them until he comes down and he takes care of them? They're not going to. But what they want you and I to do is turn to statism and mingle statism in there like Hitler had mingled in there. Oh, America could never be that way. Really? Well, listen, bang your head against the wall a few times and wake up a second. We have passed laws that are just like Nazi Germany. Can you wake up a minute? Can you just think for a minute? Can you put down the TV box? Matter of fact, take a baseball bat and bash it in if you have to. And would you listen for 1 second? Would you understand that the same laws that were passed in Nazi Germany have been passed here in America, and wake up to the truth and understand statism is alive and well in America?
Absolutely. I remember Brother Gerald Finney saying in front of me a couple years ago, most Christians are more American than they are Christian. And I heard him say that, and I agreed with the statement, but I never really thought about it as deeply as I am tonight. And it's true. I mean, you know, and I remember reading a comment of someone, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody, and he was quoting them. And this person said about her husband, you know, he's an American and he's a Methodist, but if you pressed him on it, he'd probably say he was more American than Methodist. And I think that could be said about many, many, many Baptists. You know, they, if it came down to choosing to please a governmental leader or please Jesus, they would bow down to the governmental leader, even though they would tell you to your face, I'll stand on the word of God. If it meant, and I know we're getting right back into our Romans 13 discussion, but if it meant having to choose between obeying the law and obeying the Bible, they would obey the law of the land. Because they believe erroneously that that verse is in the Bible. Obey the law of the land.
Absolutely. That's the crux of the issue. It is a Romans 13. The Pledge of Allegiance to me is a Romans 13 issue. I mean, I know there's brethren that'll disagree with me on that, and that's fine. I understand that. I wish I would have even gone further than what I did when I was at that, when I was a delegate there at the convention. I wish I would have even went a little bit further in some of my actions there. Not to cause a ruckus or anything, I don't mean that, but just to lay it out that I don't remember if I had my hands to my side or if I placed my hand on my heart. I don't really remember exactly because it's been a year, but I just remember I would not pledge, and at the different meetings that they would have, I would not pledge, allegiance like that. And, you know, I guess I've had people call me everything but to pious, to everything else. Oh, the over pious brethren. I've heard him say all these things, and just like when I preached on Hollywood, I heard him say all those things. Oh, you just think you're better than everybody else. And no, I think I'm following God. And I think I remember three boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that would not bow down to the golden image and would not salute the image. They would not pay homage to the image. And you know what? I'm not going to pay homage to the image either.
Right.
Whether it's the image of a flag that's supposed to represent my country or that I live in or whatever the case may be, I'm not going to pay that homage either. Like they didn't pay that homage. You know, why should I pay that same homage there? I don't know, whatever. Somebody may disagree with me, but at the end of the day, I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ at the end of my life, and I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I have a hard time believing that Jesus Christ will look at me and he's going to say, well, you didn't pledge allegiance like you should have to the state. You did not pledge allegiance to the statist American totalitarian military industrial complex. I have found fault with you because you didn't do that. I really, really, really don't think I'm going to hear that. What I do believe I'm going to hear is, why didn't you follow me more? Why didn't you follow me more? There was more you could have done, so much more that you could have done for me. That's what I believe I'm going to hear.
Amen. I believe you're right. You know, he's not going to care whether or not we put our hand over our heart when we saluted the flag. That's not going to be on the Lord's mind. It's going to be how true were we to his word? How much did we let him live through us? You know, I think I said it on the program before, but I'll say it again. you know, a good friend of mine, Brother Daryl Weaver, an evangelist out of Georgia. He's with us twice a year. He made a profound statement when he was here last time. He said these words. He said, "You need a liver transplant." And he was saying basically what Galatians 2:20 says. You know, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." I'm crucified. You know, the old "I pledge allegiance to the flag," me, is crucified with Christ. "And I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And if Christ lives in me, something we need to bring out, and I know you've said this, but Christ was not an American. Christ is not American. Christ is not bound by some country. Christ is not bound by some flag. He's not bound by some oath to a military force. Christ is the God of all creation, and he deserves all of my praise. He deserves all of my adoration, and he deserves all the glory, and he deserves all of my allegiance. Let me, Brother Cooley, let me give the call-in number. We're going to take a break here in about 3 minutes, but I want to get this out there. I think there may be some people who are wanting to get on here and talk with us, maybe, and get your pen or pencil ready, or get whatever you got. Write this down. Type it in, whatever you need to do. Punch it in your cell phone. 646-915-9266. Let me say it one more time for those of you that didn't write fast enough. 646-915-9266. And you're welcome to call in. We'd love to have you on the program and let your voice be heard. Now, if you get on here and say some cuss words, we're going to cut you off. But as long as you're civil, we'll be civil with you. But brother, one thing I wanted to mention about that saluting the flag is that the salute that Francis Bellamy instituted, and I know we've only got about two minutes to talk about this, but he had a partner named James B. Upham, and he came up with this salute. And it said Bellamy recalled Upham, upon reading the pledge, came into the posture of the salute, snapped his heels together, and said, "Now up there is the flag. I come to salute. I say pledge of allegiance to my flag. I stretch out my right hand and keep it raised while I say the stirring words that follow." And this salute, and I'm reading this straight off of Wikipedia. And it was first demonstrated on October 12, 1892, according to Bellamy's published instructions for the National School Celebration of Columbus Day. And it says from the Youth's Companion, "At the signal of the principal, the pupils in ordered ranks, hands to the side, face the flag. Another signal is given. Every pupil gives the flag the military salute, right hand lifted, palm downward, to a line with a forehead and close to it. Standing thus, all repeat together slowly, 'I pledge allegiance to the flag,' and so on and so forth." Now, that salute, we know that salute. That was the same salute that was accompanied with the words, "Heil Hitler!" And when that salute was given, and it was already given in Italy. It was given by Italian fascists. It was adopted by the German Nazis. And after the attack on Pearl Harbor, it was refused. It was changed. It was amended in December 22nd, 1942. And so we see where this salute actually. The salute to the flag actually started. It was very much a fascist type salute.
That's right, brother. That's exactly where it came from. And then after the Nazi Germany fiasco over there, the Holocaust and the murder of millions and everything else that took place and the war, they changed it to the hand over the heart. And I had somebody question me and they said, oh, that wasn't true. Well, it's history. You can find it. It's right there. You can't deny it. Nobody denies it unless you've never read it. If you read it, you can't deny it. It's pretty plain and simple. That's what
Absolutely.
It was.
Absolutely. We'll get into more of this stuff. It's time to take a break. And, wow, 1 hour is already gone. It's hard to believe we've gone through it that fast. But, you know, the more we do these shows, the faster it gets gone. So if you'd like to call in, now would be a good time. Call in and get online, and we'll get you after the break. But we're going to go to break and go play one of my favorite songs, The Whole Wide World by the Marksman Quartet. It's a song that's called It's Different Now. And when Christ comes in, everything changes. It's Different Now by the Marksman. We'll be back on the Old Paths broadcast.
In the first place, sin meant grace was a garden path. The Lord sorrow met sin's great death. Adam, where art thou? It's different now. Grace met their sin. Love took them in. God said to them, different now. In the next place, sin met grace on a rugged tree, meant for you and me. Grace and sorrow met sin's great death. Jesus paid the price, became sacrifice. Grace met man's sin. Love took the sin. Blood flowed from him, and it's different now. In my place, where sin met grace, at an altar there, Jesus heard my prayer. Faith and sorrow met sin's regret, so I'll be bound, and oh, it's different now. Final place, just to save by grace, it's heaven fair, and the Lord is there. My race is through, sin is too, so I'll be back, and oh, it's different now. Grace met my sin. Different now. It's different now. It's different now.
Yeah, it's different now. Praise God. I tell you, that's one of the most beautiful songs in the world to me, to think that someday, I mean, first of all, to think that that God loved man even though he turned on him, and he made a way of salvation for man, and to think that he loved me enough to save my wicked soul, and that someday, not only did he save me, but someday I'm going to get to be with him, and I'm going to get to be with him forever. And someday I'll be standing in his presence, and you know, I'll be in his likeness. What a wonderful thought. When I'll stand there someday, it'll be totally different than it is now. And the thought of that, Brother Cooley, the thought of that alone makes me want to be loyal to him. And the thought that being loyal to a country that aborts babies every day, that actually encourages just barely teenage girls to come in a third trimester to have a baby aborted. I mean, and it's accepted behavior. A country that where the government officials a lot of them are sodomites. A lot of them patronize the sex slave trade around the world when they travel to other countries. They pass laws to allow sodomites to marry. They pass laws to give sodomites special privileges and special rights. You know, when I think of all that stuff, and I mean, besides all the other things, and there are a myriad of other reasons, it makes me say to myself, why would I ever put something so vile and give it, all my admiration and tears rolling from my eyes when I think about it, compared to my Savior who gave everything for me, who shed his blood, who died for me, rose from the grave? Why would I ever, ever compare the two?
You know, brother, as you think about it and you put it into perspective, it's very sad what we've done, what we've become as a nation even. But just that the churches have gotten so caught up with patriotism that we've really lost sight of what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord, and how, you know what, our very biblical stands that we take are going to stand in the face of wicked government. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't love our country. Again, that doesn't mean any of those things. What it means is that we understand that, you know, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. You know, this is not the end game. This is where you and I, you know, as I didn't read those verses, but I'd like to read them, just a few of them, and just to put in perspective here. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful.
Absolutely.
Very, very powerful. And those men understood that they were strangers and pilgrims, that they were sojourners here for a while, but then one day, they're going home.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, I mean, he didn't say, but wait, God, I can't leave Ur. I mean, you know, that's my country. You know, I can't follow you. I've got to stay here. He didn't do that. He departed, not knowing where he was going. But he went because he followed the Lord. And, you know, it's uncharted water for a lot of people to say, you know, I'm not going to get excited and put the Stars and Stripes right up there with Calvary. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve Jesus and put him in first place, and everything else fails in comparison. Everything else fades in the distance. You know, that's uncharted water for a lot of people.
Amen, brother. That's right. And, you know, as we continue on with this theme of paganism mixed with patriotism, we have to come to the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to look at what's called the Statue of Liberty. And
right.
That the first verse that I'd bring to your attention concerning anything like this would be, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Any graven image or any likeness thereof, the Bible talked about. But the Statue of Liberty, and I will show you by the man who made the Statue of Liberty, his own quotes, and you can find these, of what he said, that he was making a goddess. That's what he said.
Hmm. Now, there's a song, and I've heard you mention it. There's a song that is sung in a lot of Christian churches. You want to bring that out?
Amen, brother. That song is very, you know, the song is really, it's unbelievable when you compare the two together. When you compare the cross and the Statue of Liberty. But first, brother, can we hold off on that? Because I want to explain
Sure.
what this statue is before Sure. we kind of hit that, that song. And the reason why is because before we give you this information, you're going to think, well, what's the big deal? You know, mm-hmm. what's the big deal? Brother Brandon, you study this out so you understand what the big deal is. But most of the folks that are listening to us probably have never heard this before. They don't have a clue the things that you and I have studied through this and everything. But in Acts chapter 19, verse number 24, we do find the Statue of Liberty. You say, wait a minute, I've never heard that before. Well, she's called something different in the Bible, but it's the same person. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." Now, he talks about Diana, and he talks about this goddess Diana. Now, we've heard her called something else in comic books and in movies. She's called Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
In Egypt, she's called Isis, she's called Athena, or Ishtar, or Diana, or she's called Astarte, or Ashtaroth, or Semiramis, included with Osiris and Horus. The Roman Diana is also known as Diana Luciferia, and she's seen holding a torch.
Right. Right. And we know that that Lucifer is called the light bearer by those who worship him. And,
that's right.
Go ahead.
Well, you and I were talking earlier about how you have seen a lot of things written that about androgyny compared to the Statue of Liberty. Go ahead and expound mm-hmm. on that a little bit.
Well, I can't remember exactly where I've seen it, but I have seen some information that some people believe that the Statue of Liberty was actually a man posing as a woman, and you know, holding the light of enlightenment. I mean, you have to understand that July 4th is. July 4th has another significance other than just our country. July 4th also has a significance with enlightenment, with the Illuminati. It has a very deep connection with Freemasonry. And the Statue of Liberty was actually built by Freemasons. And, you know, the actual name of the Statue of Liberty is Liberty Enlightening the World.
Mm.
And she is supposedly enlightening the world. Now, that book she holds in her arms is not the Bible. It is not the Ten Commandments. We don't know what that book is that she's holding. It says on that book, it says, July 4th, 1776. But that was also the same date that Adam Weishaupt started the, it was some date, and I'm trying to remember exactly, but it relates to the Illuminati, and they are all about enlightenment. The Freemasons are about enlightenment. It was built by Freemasons, and they worship not Jesus Christ, but they worship Lucifer, who is the light bearer. And here you have a very, what a lot of people believe is a very effeminate looking man holding a lighted torch. Now, you
that's
know,
right. That torch is very significant as well. You know, the torch, that goes back way back into history. When we said about the Roman Diana, the false goddess there, Diana is also known as Diana Luciferia. She's seen holding a torch. Nimrod the tyrant had a mother named Samaris, and one of the names she was worshipped under was Feronia, or the goddess of liberty. Now you stop right there and think about that. That's the name that's given, the goddess of liberty, and that's exactly what the Statue of Liberty is. She's none other than Semiramis. She's none other than the oldest cult in history. She's none other than, and she's holding that secret book, brother. She's holding that secret book, and you know you can. I a while back I posted a picture of ISIS, so to speak. It's supposed to be a picture of ISIS, and it was from the movie. What's that mermaid? The Little Mermaid movie, and there was a painting that had floated down to the water, or whatever, or something, and you see Ariel, the girl, giving the satanic sign to that painting, and in that painting was a woman who was recognized as Isis, and she is placing her elbow and covering up the book. The mystery book that she has there, that mystery Masonic book that she has there, the occultic mystery that is taking place. And that's exactly what you see with the Statue of Liberty as well. You see the same thing. The designer was a Frederick Bartholdi, and right on the statue we see the Mason compass and the square. Augustus Bartholdi was a member of the cultic Masonic Lodge in Paris. And that's a secret international brotherhood linked to the ancient builders of the pyramids. So he got help from another Mason named Richard Hunt, and who was a master at studying pyramids, ziggurats, and other styles. And basically, the Statue of Liberty is a tower.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Tower of Babylon. It's the same type of a understanding as the Tower of Babylon had. That's exactly what's going on with that. But, oh, no, you're just anti-American. No, I'm just biblical. I just understand this, and I've looked at this torch, and I've seen this torch, and I've seen what Freemasonry says of the torch. And come on, folks, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if a Freemason built it and designed it, and then in their Freemasonry book they talk about the torch and it's got satanic design after it. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out the thing is satanic. That's what it's
right.
All about.
Yeah, they don't do anything by accident. Everything they do has a significance. Everything they do has a secret meaning. Everything they do has a plan.
Yes. It does. They're very calculating with what they do. Now, they were going to build this another statue, this goddess. They were going to build it over in Egypt, but they weren't allowed to build the goddess Isis in Egypt because the Muslims would have killed them if they did that. So it kind of fell through. But Satanists have always equated the flaming torch as a symbol of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know. But I think we got, brother, do we have a caller online?
Let me see. Let me check here. I'm not sure if we got one ready to go on, but we've got somebody online there. Brother Lonnie's checking it out for us right now.
Yeah, brother Butch, I think, just messaged me and said that he was trying to call into the show. He wanted to call in, so I thought I'd slip that in there while we had a chance because we don't want to ignore anybody. But
right.
if you'd like to weigh in on it, and I know you and I, we enjoy talking to folks anyway. And
all right.
But this Satanist Luciferian, they use this. It is the torch is used, and these Satanists, they've always equated the flaming torch as a symbol of Lucifer. Lucifer, having regained his star and his diadem, will assemble his legions for new works of creation. Attracted by his flaming torch, celestial spirits will descend, and he will send these messengers from unknown spheres to earth. Then the torch of Lucifer will signal from heaven to earth, and the New Age Christ will answer from earth to heaven. That was quoted in the Mystery Mark of the New Age by Tex Mars, but it's what the Luciferians believe.
Amen. Yeah, Brother Butch Crawford, he's holding there, and we'll get him on the program. We got about 9 minutes before we take a break, so let's get him on there, Brother Lonnie. All right, Butch, are you there?
I am here, Brother Teak.
All right, what you got for us tonight, brother?
I was going to talk to you a minute. You guys were talking about that book that the Statue of Liberty is holding. If
right.
you actually look at that book, it's not a book. It's a keystone. If you notice the top of the shape of it, it's a keystone, which is a central principle or part of a system on which all else depends. That's the definition of a keystone. But if you actually look at that thing, at the very top of it, it's a keystone. I used to live in Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, and you'll notice the top of it has the shape, and it's actually a keystone. In fact, you can see it even in, I don't know if you guys have your website up, but as the pictures of the Statue of Liberty go past on the Blog Talk Radio, you can see that the top of that thing is actually a keystone. So it is the thing on which all the rest of the, you know, it's the principle on which everything else rests.
I see. Almost. So what it is, it's the key of enlightenment is what it is, and it sounds like.
Right. It
wow.
binds all the rest of the work together, is what it's saying.
Wow.
Yeah, there's much more to this than any of us realize.
Oh, so much more. Brother Cooley and I know one another a little bit, and he could tell you, I stand exactly where you gentlemen stand on this issue. Sadly, so many people don't want to hear it. One of the things I always share with people is the Bible clearly tells us that no man can serve two masters. And if you are pledging your allegiance to someone, you are telling them that I am your servant. I am I am below you. You are my master.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've got two masters, if you're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. That's what the Bible says. So no man
That's
can
right.
serve two masters.
Amen, brother. You're correct about that. And I think what has happened in this country, slowly but surely, what they've done is they've won the minds and hearts of so many people over to patriotism. But it's the act of the devil. What he does is he mixes in wickedness with virtue, and he mixes it together. And then it does a swerve, kind of like Disney does. When they said Disney will show you. Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus as little girls in the Mickey Mouse Club, and then they turn them into raging harlots after a while, and it's that great swerve that they pull men into.
Amen.
And that's how Satan works. That's exactly what he does, and he'll use the state to do it. And we understand that Revelation chapter 13. That's going to be the culmination of it all. In the end. Is going to be that beast that will rule the world.
That's absolutely right, brother. And I see that keystone now. Going back and looking at the pictures, and it's absolutely right. And you know, I was mentioning to Brother Cooley that there's so much to that statue that we don't even realize. I mean, there's 7 points of light coming out of her crown. There's a significance of that. There's actually a statue called Libertas, and I can't. About a year ago, I watched a television show. It's Brad Metzler's Decoded, and he sends a team to go in and investigate conspiracy theories. And one of the conspiracy theories was all about the Statue of Liberty. And of course, in the it's basically a disinformation show, because in the end they come back around and say, well, you know, this could be plausible and that, but it's probably not, and everybody should just shut up and go back to sleep. So, but there's so many. Go ahead, brother.
Don't you love how all those shows give you a whole lot of truth, and then at the end they go, but that's not really the truth.
Exactly.
When I look at that Statue of Liberty, it is absolutely spooky to me. I'm sorry, but I get spooked out when I look at the face of that thing. And when I look at that entire thing, I just see something satanic and demonic about it. Absolutely satanic and demonic.
You know, to me, what I see is a complete resemblance, another Masonic statue that old Kirk Cameron's running around saying, this is what we need to look to figure out how to get our country back.
Uh-huh.
In the movie Divided, it's another Masonic symbol. Many of the same symbols fall on both of them.
Oh, is that and that new, that's the new film that they did about liberty or whatever, so to speak?
Monumental.
Is that what it was?
Monumental.
Yeah.
Monumental, okay. And in fact, they go to this monument that is another Masonic monument, and they say it shows us the pattern for getting our country back. Well, I just want to know, isn't that the word of God?
Amen.
Since when do we need a Masonic pagan idol to show us how to get back right with God?
You know, and what
that's
it shows you, brother,
right.
is that he's deceived. I don't think he understands that. You know, I don't think a lot of these guys even know that. You know, I mean, even Manly Hall, the Masonic 33rd degree Mason, he states that the torch represents the occult arts and sciences, the doctrines and dogmas by the light of which truth is made visible. Oh, brother, these guys have been putting they've been pulling the wool over people's eyes for years, and they deal in secrecy. That's what they do. Is it any wonder that half of our politicians and all those people are connected to Freemasonry, movie stars and actors and musicians and all those people? They're everywhere. They're everywhere mixed in. I heard that Roy Rogers was a 33rd degree Mason.
No surprise at all that the God of this world has all his servants.
Well, so was Ronald Reagan. So was Billy Graham. Or is Billy Graham. So, I mean, it's not a shock. They're all 33rd degree Masons. So is Robert Shuler. You know, all the big wheels and the movers and shakers of this world are the big 33rd degree Masons. And, you know, they understand all this symbolism. You know, you were quoting Tex Mars earlier, and he wrote a wonderful, and I think you said you actually have a copy of it. It's Codex Magica, which is a exhaustive volume, all the new New World Order's symbolism, its hand signals, its advertising symbology, and you know, average person doesn't have the time to sit down and study all this stuff out. But I tell you, if more people would just pay attention, just learn a little bit, it would open their eyes and they begin to see what this world around them is really made of. And it is certainly a world that gives and pays homage to Satan. And we don't see it if we're not looking for it. But if we know what to look for, we see it everywhere.
Absolutely. You know, I was going to share one more quick thought with you, gentlemen. That movie Monumental might do you some good to look at that thing and look at all the half-truths these people in lies. But it's interesting, at the very end of the movie, there's an advertisement for the new republished Geneva Bible.
Wow.
We know about the new one. So really, what that whole movie does is at the end, it takes people away from the Word of God, the King James Bible, and says, here, this is the Bible you need to go back to. This is the one that our forefathers came here with, which is an absolute lie.
Hey, yeah. That's right, it's a lie.
That's really what it gets down to at the end. Just want to get the Word of God out of people's hands, because if they ain't got the Word of God, of course they're going to go astray.
That's true.
That's right,
amen.
Brother.
Amen. Let me see how much time we got left in this half hour. Well, we're down to about 20 seconds, so We're going to have to take a break, but
you gentlemen have a good evening. I enjoyed speaking to you. I'll listen to the rest of it off the phone.
All right, Butch. Well, hey, good to have you on, brother. God bless, and call back some other time. We'd be glad to have you on then.
All right.
Yes, sir. We're going to take a break, and we're going to take a break one more time with the Marksman Quartet, a song called Stormy Dark Waters. And we're living in a day when I'm telling you the storms are upon us in every direction, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and he'll take us through the storm. Marksman Quartet on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be right back.
Gathering way over my head. The worst is around me, the stillness is fled. Stormy dark waters roll over my heart. The winds and the storm clouds contribute their part. Stormy dark waters, around me they roll. Winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. The stormy dark water will soon come to pass. Covered by clouds all the day, but I know it still shines. I can tell when I pray. Though we all love smooth sailing and a warm southern breeze, stormy dark water bring us all to our knees. Stormy dark water, round me they roll. Winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass. God charged the water so fishers and men just hoist up your mainsail, let your journey begin. Stormy dark water round you will roll. Just don't let the thunder trouble your soul. The journey dark water will all come to pass. Stormy dark water will soon come to pass. Stormy dark water will soon come to pass. Stormy dark water.
That's the great thing about it when we do deal with storms of life. You know, the thing of it does come to pass. And even this old world will come to pass. This country that we live in will someday come to pass. And like we've talked about already, the governments of this world will someday bow their knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand something, Christian, born again child of God, you are seen and viewed by the Homeland Security Division of the United States federal government as a potential domestic terrorist if you believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they know that you believe that someday Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David and he will rule this earth with a rod of iron. And they know that you believe that he will overthrow all nations. And because you follow him, that makes you a terrorist. That makes you a potential terrorist. And so your own country doesn't trust you. So why would you trust your country? Food for thought.
Amen. Absolutely. I don't trust anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ in that fashion to pledge my undying allegiance to. It's going to be to Jesus. Amen. But the Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices, but I think sometimes that's if we're stayed on the Word of God, and when we're paying attention and we're focused on the Word of God. You know, even the man that made the Statue of Liberty, he said this. He said he caught a vision of a magnificent goddess holding aloft a torch in one hand and welcoming all visitors to the land of freedom and opportunity.
Huh. A goddess.
A goddess. He fashioned a goddess. Does that not strike you as so? What is his craft? His craft is the same as the craft that we find back in the scriptures in Acts chapter 19. It says, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed from all Asia and the world worshipeth.
Mm-hmm.
So his craft is the same as theirs. What is it? Witchcraft.
Amen. That's right. I mean, it's hard to grasp that honoring the Statue of Liberty is literally worshiping a goddess, and that it is putting a god before our god. And
go ahead. I'm sorry,
ahead.
Brother.
No, I think I was gonna say just about what you were gonna say. Go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing before I get into that, and I know you and I are both gonna talk about this song here, but understand one thing too, that the phallus symbol is a lot. The phallic symbol has a lot to do with this as well. The male female type of the masonry, the male female design worship is all a part of that whole Statue of Liberty as well. So that's another thing that we don't have time to really go into. But the song that I've heard from many fundamentalists, my wife actually sung this song in a church before. Before I was even saved, I think it was. It's around 9/11. You know, back in 2001, my wife sang this song before she was my wife, but she sang this song. In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her knows she stands for liberty for you and me. Well, actually, what she stands for is rebellion to God. That's what she stands for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. Why would I honor the Statue of Liberty? It's a goddess. It's Diana. It's a false god. Do you see what they do, brother? They mix the light with the darkness. It's the twilight worship. It's the worship of the mystical light. It's masonry is all it is. It's worshiping.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly right. We're almost to the high point of the satanic year too. If you know anything about the summer solstice, we're coming up on the 21st to 23rd of July, which is when the leaders of the world go out into the woods outside San Francisco, California, to the Bohemian Grove, and they'll go through their ritual of cremation of care and try to get rid of their consciences so they can keep going about their nefarious deeds, and they worship pagan gods and bow down and worship a stone owl, and you know, those are the people who love the fact that Christian people swallow this garbage hook, line, and sinker. And
right, that is. They laugh at us. They laugh at our God. When you look at this song, it's blasphemy. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and the whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Well, there's two lies right there, first of all. Because number one, that statue doesn't liberate anybody. If it does, it liberates them into wickedness and paganism. It's that torch of liberty of paganism. They're comparing the cross. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty. Oh, my stars. Do you see what we're comparing the cross our Lord Jesus Christ died on, the act of Christ giving his life a ransom for our soul, we're likening that to the goddess Diana.
Wow. That's all you can say. It's just wow.
Yeah, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that old rugged cross is my statue of liberty. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that rugged cross is my statue of liberty.
Mm-mm-mm. That's blasphemous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a blasphemous. And, people don't recognize that. They just recognize it. They can't see it. They've been blinded. The God of this world has blinded their eyes so they can't see the truth.
That's right, and masonry hides in symbols. That, folks, understand one thing. Symbols are important, okay? They mean something. When you see them, they mean something. Look at the meaning and try to find the meaning of them.
Right. Notice, and I want to bring this up to people's attention. If you don't believe that this Illuminati stuff we're talking about is real, just take your $1 bill out of your pocket. Turn it over. Look at the back. Look at the pyramid, and then look right above the unfinished pyramid at the all-seeing eye of Horus. That is a Masonic symbol. Just look at the slogan there, Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means new secular order or new world order. it's very obvious. It's right there on your money. And just notice on the magazine fronts as you're in the grocery store, and I hate to even recommend people look at magazine covers, but just notice how many times in pop culture you'll see an artist covering one eye. It's so subtle. People don't see it, but so many times you see these music artists, these actors in pictures covering one eye. You know what they're doing? They're honoring Horus. They are giving praise to the god Horus. They are worshiping Lucifer. It's symbology. I urge people who are curious about this, get on the internet. Just type in a search engine, just type in Bohemian Grove. Bohemian Grove. Just type it in and look at the pictures of our presidents, past and present, who, I don't know if Obama's been there or not. I don't know if they allow a president of another race to come into that club. I have no idea. Maybe so. But I wouldn't be surprised if he were there. And not only him, but Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, Henry Kissinger, all these people have been in that place. Ronald Reagan, both the Bushes.
Nixon.
Nixon, absolutely. It is a place of wickedness. It is a place where they bring in male prostitutes, and I know this stuff sounds far-fetched. It seems hard to believe, but no women are allowed in this club. Again, it is our leaders of our world, members of big business, the money men of this world, the men of own corporations. Those are the people who are there, and those are the people who go through a mock ritual of human sacrifice. They are the people who bow before a huge stone owl representing a Canaanite deity. and they worship pagan gods. Those are the people who run our world. And I urge you, just go see for yourself. Type it in. Type in these things that we're talking about tonight. Look at it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Brother Cooley's word for it. Do some research on your own. And I know you're not going to like what you see. And when you see it, you don't like what you see, don't stick your head back in the sand. Deal with it. Deal with
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Yeah, it's hard. But here's the thing. Once you wake up, it's impossible to go back to sleep. I'm going to let you talk, brother. I've been talking long enough.
No, you're right. I concur with everything you're saying. It's once you see it, and I've studied these things out, I've seen it, and it's downright sad. Another
brother
way
Lonnie,
that they have...
And Brother Lonnie messaged me. He said, yeah, Obama, he's been there. Brother Lonnie researches stuff when we talk about it. He's always posting something. That's our producer, folks, and he's a good one. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Now, another way that they have used to paganism has got into our churches or just downright false doctrine as well is in a song called the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't see how any Southerner could actually sing this song. Now, I'm from the North here. I live in the North here. I've been told I should be down south by so many people I can't even count.
Yeah, I told you to come
told
on.
Me that. Yeah, exactly. A lot of people tell me I ought to be in Texas. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that the Battle Hymn of the Republic shouldn't be sung by any Christian, but a Southerner, one that believes in states' rights and everything. I don't know how they could sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It is a blasphemous song. If you can find an article called Blasphemy in Song, and it deals with that. But I just want to read you a few things about this song that I don't believe should be sung by any Christian, but it should not be sung at churches. It goes on to let me give you an example of what this is talking about. The Battle Hymn of the Republic is not a song that should be on the lips of any Christian. It's not a Christian hymn at all. It's a disgrace that the Battle Hymn of the Republic even appears in the Christian hymn book alongside such great hymns as Blessed Redeemer, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and The Way of the Cross Leads Home, or O Worship the King. Julia Ward Howe was a Unitarian and wrote the song as a partisan Unionist during the beginning of the Civil War. The Battle Hymn of the Republic is a religious war propaganda. It is no more a Christian hymn than White Christmas is. Mine eyes have seen is from the prophet Isaiah's vision of the Lord, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. But rather than seeing the coming of the Lord, Isaiah saw the King, the Lord of hosts. Howe never saw the coming of the Lord. And the very idea that the coming of the Union Army was akin to the coming of the Lord is blasphemous. Trampling out the vintage, brother, is a reference to the end times spoken of in the book of Revelation, the wine of the wrath of God, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Howe originally used the words winepress instead of vintage. The word trampling is taken from the Old Testament. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. I will stain all my raiment. Lightning is sometimes associated with the judgment of God. The terrible swift sword is the reference to Christ's sword. God's truth is not marching on, it's fallen in the street, it says Isaiah 59:14. And the Union Army marching is certainly not God's truth personified. Not when the Bible reserves that honor for Jesus Christ.
Right.
It goes on to say this, I've seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. In this verse, God is said to be in the camps of the Union Army, a dubious proposition considering that it was an invading army. Building him an altar is straight out of the Bible. God's righteous sentence is perhaps taken from references to God's righteous judgment or righteous judgments. His day is a reference to the day of the Lord, falsely equating the marching of the Union Army with the judgment of God. Do you understand what they were doing? They were saying, well, God was in the South being decimated. God was leading the North to come in and pillage the South.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is read about what Sherman did and uh-huh. how he burned and pillaged and raped women and it was horrible what they did. And
Sherman would make Adolf Hitler blush.
Absolutely. There's no way. There's a Facebook group that I belong to, and I'm not ashamed of it. It's called Defending the Heritage, and it is untold stories of the War of Northern Aggression, and it tells stories of a lot of the atrocities committed by the Union soldiers, and one that just blew my mind. There was a Union ship that was taking a load of people. I can't remember the situation, but there were some slaves that were on that ship, and there was a young mother who had a sick child that was a young toddler that was crying, and she was trying her best to comfort the child, and she was unsuccessful. She was trying everything she could, and finally the Union officer was so annoyed that he walked over and grabbed the toddler and picked it up and pitched it into the sea because he didn't want to listen to it anymore. I mean, and I just recently read the story of a woman of the home in a very well-to-do Southern home that was whipped and beaten by Sherman's troops as they went through there, as she was taken out, stripped and beaten. Just horrible atrocities committed. And, by people who just wanted to be free. I mean, two people who just wanted to be free to most of them to serve the Lord. I mean, the South was a very rich Bible-believing place. And not to say everybody was saved, because not everybody was, but there was a lot of people who, the South was full of mostly Irish and Scottish immigrants, a lot of them who were very deeply, deeply religious, and many of them born again Christians.
Yeah, and this song is blasphemy. It mocks the deaths of these people. There's a verse that they left out, and I think if they didn't leave this out, it would really give a good understanding of what this song was about. I have read a fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of women crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on. This verse is so blasphemous that it's not even included in the Christian hymnals, in the battle hymn. Perhaps if it was, then Christians' eyes would be open. But the burnished rows of steel refer to the polished Union cannons. This is not the gospel of the grace of God. This is another gospel, of which the Apostle Paul said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto him, let him be accursed. And what grace is this to punish the evil Southerners, and I will give you grace? They basically said that if you kill these Southerners, God will give more grace to you. You have redemption in murdering these Southerners.
Yeah. It's pitiful.
If that's not enough, and you say, well, I'm fine, I'm from the North, I don't know about all that. Okay, well, let me give you this one. How would you like to, do you think it's okay to sing lies? To sing absolutely lies in the song? That's all blasphemous. But if you can't see that, how about this? In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the seas with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on. First of all, Christ was not born in the beauty of the lilies. He was born in a manger.
Right. In a horse stall, a cattle stall.
Yeah, that's right. So to say that he was born in the beauty of the lilies, that's a big lie, is what that is. He was laid in a manger, not in a garden. The glory of his bosom is certainly scriptural, but what it's referencing is the transfiguration before his disciples. But he was the one who was transfigured, the glory of Christ transfiguring you and me. What Hal was preaching was her universalism. She believed in a universal gospel, a universal redemption. That means that man didn't have to repent and believe. He was already saved because Christ died. she believed, and that's what she wrote in this song. This phrase also, it shows us that he died to make men free. It also alludes to this fact that, oh, Abraham Lincoln, he died, the war was to free the slaves. Let me read you a quote from Abraham Lincoln. My paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and it is not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that. What I do about slavery and the colored race, I do because I believe it helps to save the Union.
That's just, brother, that, you know, people have been lied to. And I mean,
yeah.
I know that, but, and they've been lied to by who? They've been lied to by their government. By the government that runs the country, who have indoctrinated them to pledge allegiance to it, no matter what it does, no matter who it hurts, and no matter what it stands for. And it's just sad. It's just sad that, and again, even though we've talked about it tonight, there's so many people who we're never going to see it, brother. They're just never going to see it.
No, unless you want to. I mean, I again, the Battle Hymn of the Republic is not a biblical song. It's not a hymn that honors God at all. It shouldn't have anything to do with our church services at all. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, I mean, whatever others do, I guess they'll have to. But knowing the truth of it, and knowing that this universalist wrote it, and what her goal was, and what she was meaning by it, and what it says, why would I want to be a part of any of that?
Oh, no, I don't want any part of it. Amen. And, you know, interestingly, I just happen to remember the song "Hold the Fort." I know you've heard it. "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." Was another war song of the Civil War, and just another one of these. And Christians have just been duped into believing the propaganda machine, and it's just a sad, sad thing. But anyway, we got to get out of here, brother. We got to get out of here.
That's right.
And but it's been a good show. And I have certainly enjoyed it, and we'll do it again next week. Absolutely do it again next week. I mean, we got about a minute and a half left in the program tonight, but I appreciate Brother Butch Crawford calling in tonight, and enjoyed his help in the program, and I just hope and pray that we've, if nothing else, maybe we woke some people up, maybe we've made some people think. And maybe spurred some people to maybe next time somebody says, we'll now turn and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, maybe they'll think, you know, I can't do that. You know, maybe next time somebody's going to say, wait a minute, I don't pledge allegiance to the flag, I pledge allegiance to Jesus. And that's what this is all about. Maybe next time somebody praises the Statue of Liberty, somebody somewhere will say, I don't worship that goddess. I worship Jesus. That's what we're here for. We're trying to point people to Christ. Brother Cooley, it's been good. I've enjoyed it, and thank you for being my co-host, and thank you for your help and all that you do, brother. You keep standing strong. And As we say here on the program every week, let God be true, but every man a liar. I'm Brother Brandon Teague. He's Brother Jason Cooley. And we're out of here, brother. We'll see you next time.
Amen.
was acting